listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
I remember when girls are goody two shoes, but now they turn to freaks. All of a sudden, we love you. Fight back up, ho. My name's Malik. Fight this, fight that. Where you going? Where you at? These girls don't know me from Jack. Yet I feel like the Mac. You didn't want me this, oh, hun. Don't want me now. Here, here. Take the towel. Wipe off your brow and take the contact out your eye. You're far from looking fly. You get an E for effort, a T for nice try. Now tell me what's the reason that you're dying your hair. Slum Village gold still dangling in your ear. You barely have a neck, still sporting a rope. Four finger ring, just so Pfeiffer can scope. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we in his ear on Wednesday. Last day of the podcasting week, kind of.
Yes, it is.
Even though tomorrow, doing Balls Deep Sports with Justin.
Yes, we are.
So we'll be here for the preams. Also, just found out today Spreecast is ending, so we got to come up with something for that.
I know, we just found out today, like
literally before we went on the air.
Yeah, literally about what, maybe an hour and a half ago.
Right, and you got all these people like, what y'all gonna do? Hey, nigga, we don't know either. We found out like you, dog.
Right, so we got to search and do research and find out what best is gonna suit us.
All right. So, you know, hey, no, we'll let you know as soon as we know. We'll let you guys know the plan, man. Official weapon of the show is
the taste,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 546 that Bobby Schmurder has been locked up in jail. Getting to be a long time. Him and Loris need to be freed. And of course, today's show is double sponsored. Okay. First of all, the show is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT and you'll get $3 off of any new subscription. Okay, a lot of you guys say, Rod, I like your cool shirts. Well, this is one of the places I get them from. Loot Crate. Send it to me every month. Also, speaking of monthly subscriptions, this episode is also brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code FREETBGWT to get your first month free at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. All right, let's go ahead and get into some news. All kinds of news is happening. And even though it hasn't been that long, feel like it's been a while. You got to play this song.
Tell me something. I wanna ask you what you want. There's something that I wanna know.
What you wanna know, dog?
To this question. You got the answer.
Yes, I do.
Tell me what I want to know.
What you want to know, dog?
Do you want a funk?
Yes.
Do you want a funk?
Yes.
Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you want a funk, let me show you how.
Show me.
Do you want a funk with me? Do you want a funk with me?
That's right. It's LGBT news. Now, obviously, there's a lot of it that is related to the Orlando shooting, so not all of it is good news. But then I was thinking about this segment. It rarely is good news, but don't want to let them take the party away, man.
Ain't that the truth?
So let's talk about all the shit that's going on, okay?
Okay.
An Airbnb host was removed for discriminating against a trans user.
Good.
Right? Every once in a while, like one out of 27 stories, somebody does the right thing.
Good. And so far, look like you're right. They are like fucking up with our money, and we got competitors popping up talking about ain't no discrimination happening in these places.
Well, also you gotta configure that people have access to social media now, so when you discriminate against somebody for whatever cause or whatever reason, that person can go to the internet and there's so many other people that will signal boost that shit. So not only, and the thing is, the person using the thing doesn't get the blame, the company providing the platform gets the blame,
as they should, because it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, so this is a ongoing problem, and yeah, it's about time they got proactive about it. But yeah, she's trans, and she books her accommodations through Airbnb, and she usually gives her host a heads up that she's trans, to guard against potential issues later on, which is a sad reality, but you know, it's one of those things where this person shows up and now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I thought you were a woman, I'm a bigot, you know, I don't believe in that, this North Carolina, you can't use my bathroom or whatever the fuck,
it don't matter.
She was surprised though when a Minneapolis Airbnb host rejected her reservation last year after she made the disclosure. The host said she had a 13-year-old boy in the house going through puberty and didn't want him to feel any discomforts in his own home.
What?
Now, how does Airbnb work? Are people there or do they leave the house?
It varies.
Okay, so
sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Sometimes you get them and sometimes you got the whole house. Sometimes you got a room. Mm-hmm. And multiple other people will be there with you. It's like you almost have to inquire what the particular person has. Sometimes people have rules and regulations, but they'll be like, hey, you can go in every room but this room, or whatever it may be. Or, hey, you might need to feed the dog. You know, it varies per owner, you know, because somebody's private house.
Well, Petrosky told Fusion she was even more surprised when Airbnb failed to take actions after she reported to her experience via email. The company told her at the time that it was an all-encompassing zero-tolerance policy against content that promotes discrimination, bigotry, racism, hatred, and harassment or harm, but it didn't act on her report until a tweet this week about her experience racked up hundreds of likes and retweets. Now, a year later, Airbnb has removed the Minneapolis host from the platform. Yeah, so it's all the recent shit. Like I said, it's not the goodness of their heart. You can't depend on that.
Oh, no.
But this bad publicity, oh, you can depend on that 100 times out of 100, because they don't want to lose business or become associated with the idea of bigotry and Airbnb, you know?
Right. And you can go somewhere else and have a place where nobody would fucking use that shit. That's why you use this platform, because you want to rent your house out. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can go to the other platforms, but the eyes aren't going to be the same. That's what that boils down to. That's why you want that platform. But you have to abide by their rules and realize that you're still serving the general public.
Yep. So the company announced last week it hired the former head of the ACLU, Washington DC legislative office, as a consultant to study bias on the platform.
Oh, they ain't playing. They got the ACLU. They was like, look, we want to be sure we ain't breaking no laws.
They removed the Airbnb host from North Carolina who said a bunch of racist stuff too.
Good.
So yeah, that good for them. Glad this person's gone.
Yes.
Sad that it took this much shit to get them to do the right thing.
It's sad that it took this long, right, because they've had a reputation for this apparently for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to get some people that might decide, but honestly, it's a lot of money they ain't never gonna get back.
Yeah,
people that have left and just refuse to go back, and people like us are going, not until you clean up your act, and that's if I come then.
Mm-hmm. Noah Galvin, who is the star of The Real O'Neals, called out Colton Haynes, who you would know because he plays Arsenal on Arrow. He's basically Roy.
Yes.
Well, Roy, and we covered this on the Nerd Off, but Roy, you know, at first he was kind of like, why do people keep asking me about my sexuality? It's nobody's business, which it really is nobody's business.
Right.
But later he kind of came out and just talked about some different things. He talked about you know, basically that he sleeps with men or whatnot. I don't think he's fully claiming to be gay.
Right.
He also you know, like talked about depression and why he had to stop filming Arrows and all this stuff. Noah Galvin did an interview with Vulture, and basically slammed Colton Haynes. He said, cause he plays a gay teen on the ABC comedy, Galvin does.
Okay.
He said that Haynes' announcement that he's gay in a recent Entertainment Weekly interview was fucking pussy bullshit. That's not coming out. He didn't actually say he was gay. That's fucking pussy bullshit. That's like, enough people assume that I sleep with men, so I'm just gonna slightly confirm the fact that I sucked a dick or two. That's not doing anything for the little gays, but giving them more masturbation material.
What?
The actor said, everyone in the glass closet, the closet gay community in Hollywood, should stop beating around the bush and be honest about their identities. There was a kid who guested on our show. He was flirting with me so blatantly to the point where he asked me out a few times. At one point I turned to him and said, it was like, are you gay? He was like, well, I don't know. I'm more like, go with the flow. I was like, shut the fuck up. Get out my face. You wishy-washy, which I wishy-washy bullshit answer. You're a fucking faggot. Like, I know you are. You know you are. Stop beating around the bush. Just go make out with me in my dressing room. Okay. He also continued to dig. He took aim at Brian Singer, who was accused of sexual assault in 2014, claimed he was raped by Michael Egan, who claimed he was raped by as a teenager by the filmmaker. Brian Singer likes to invite little boys over to his pool and diddle them in the fucking dark of night, he said, laughing. I want nothing to do with that. I think there are enough boys in LA that are questionably homosexual who are willing to do things with the right person who can get them in the door. In New York, there is a healthy gay community, and that doesn't exist in LA. He also attacked the character played by fellow ABC sitcom star Eric Stone Street on Modern Family. I think as wonderful an actor as Eric Stone Street is, I've never met him. I'm assuming he's a wonderful guy. He plays a caricature of a caricature of a stereotype on Modern Family, he says. He's a straight man in real life, and as hilarious as that character is, there's a lack of authenticity. I think people, especially young gay kids, they can laugh at it and they can see it as a source of comedy, but like nothing more than that. And I want Kenny to be more than the funny gay kid. 22 said he's still figuring out his own bullshit, therefore doesn't have time to be your fucking soothsayer. Well, since saying that, he apologized.
I wonder why.
he was going in.
I wonder why. Somebody at the network that you do a show for was like, hey, dawg, you can't be doing this bullshit.
Also, I think, I don't know how to say, like, is the going rule gonna be like, I don't want straight people playing gay, and I don't want, so you like, how's that gonna work, you know? Because gay people can play straight, and
yes they can.
Some straight actors play gay on a show or something,
and I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, but maybe some gay people don't fuck with that, you know, especially if there's already representation issues. But I mean, that would be a pretty tough thing to pull off, that every actor that plays someone gay has to be gay,
right?
You know, because I certainly wouldn't want it to be the other way, where like, well, you can only play straight if you a straight person, because
right,
that wouldn't make sense. Not mm-hmm. that everything's equal and opposite, but
right,
you know, I don't know how that would, I don't know the feasibility of how that would work. Anyway, he says, I sincerely apologize to Brian Singer for the horrible statement I made about him in an interview I gave to New York Magazine. He read the statement. My comments were false and unwarranted. Oh, yeah, he probably got threatened with a suit. You can't just say that shit like that. That's a crime, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was irresponsible and stupid of me to make those allegations against Brian. I deeply regret doing so. I have never been to Brian's house, and I admit there's no basis for any things I said or implied about Brian in that interview. I understand now that my statements were not at all funny and have serious implications. I'm very sorry, and I hope that Brian and everyone else who read that interview can forgive me for my serious lapse in judgment. I have contacted New York Magazine and other publications that republished my statements and asked them all to print this retraction and apology. The entire interview I gave to Vulture has hurt the LGBTQ community and the industry I feel truly fortunate to be a part of. Yeah, this shit, that, like, reading that, I was like, ain't he only 22? This could fuck up your whole career. Mm-hmm. You never know who has more power than you at a network to be like, yo, fuck him. Get him out of here.
Come on, doll. Who has been gay or either you bashing these people who you quote-unquote feel is not being true and authentic to themselves, and they might be somebody higher up in your company, and you don't know these people. Everybody's not coming out going, I'm gay. So, right, you know, since everybody's not doing that, and some people choose not to do that, you can't force them to. You can't make them do this. You just happen to be a person that's very open. But it's one of those things, I think to me, it's like, it's very dumb. And yes, somebody got a hold of him. I was like, hey, he ain't been convicted of nothing, dog. You can't say this. You're going to fuck around and get smacked with a lawsuit. Apologize. Yeah. Or you're going to lose your job.
My thing is that, I don't know how, you just don't know who knows who. You don't know right. What relationships people have. Like, it could be the dude from Modern Family. It's just like, yo, I've been on ABC longer than this dude. I know so-and-so and so-and-so. Hey, get this dude off of the fucking TV show. Mm-hmm. Or you just never fucking know. I mean, it's very dangerous. And then also to just tell somebody they have to come out at the timetable that you've decided and they right. have to be all the way out. I mean, that's a sticky situation, man. Cause like, right. I can understand the impetus of being like, don't try to claim us in the dark and then go out here in public and like distance yourself. But at the same time, we don't really know what anyone's sexuality actually is.
Right.
And we don't know how they feel about it or any of that shit. Yeah. And someone's personal issues with their own sexuality can't really become representative of everybody unless they start speaking for everybody. And if Colton Haynes wasn't going on being like, this is how everyone should operate, I don't know how you can really like call him to the carpet for that.
And that's true. And also, I think, for me, it's one of those things, it's real easy to tell somebody else what to do when you don't have to deal with any of the consequences or the repercussions.
Well, he may feel that he does because he's gay as well. So yeah. It's like, just come out the closet. I'm out the closet and it worked for me. Well, so he may feel that on some level he can tell somebody else to do that. I'm not saying.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody's situation is different.
Right. Like, we don't know Colton Haynes' parents. Right. We don't know, like.
How they were raised, anything.
We don't know what his religion situation is. We don't know shit, really. And he's talked about depression. He's talked about, you know, all these other issues. We don't know his mind state, you know what I mean? Depression is some serious shit. Not everyone mm-hmm. experiences it. So it's easy on the outside looking in to just be like, well, just fucking tough it up and do what I think you should do, you know? But we just never know what mm-hmm. the fuck, you know? He might come out the closet and then kill himself the next week because it's too much pressure. I don't know.
Right.
You know,
everybody responds differently.
Right. My only intention was to try and empower and promote honesty, but I fully understand the comments I made were brazen and hurtful to Colton Haynes and the LGBTQ youth, especially those who have embraced our show. I have no right to dictate how or when anybody comes out of the closet. I know how difficult and scary the process coming out can be. And last thing I would ever want to do is make it scarier for anyone. Lastly, as I said in the interview, I think Eric Stone Street is a wonderful actor. I apologize to everyone I've hurt with my comments. I understand the damage that has been done. I'm new to this and will certainly commit to being more thoughtful and wiser as I navigate all this moving forward.
Mm-hmm. You walked in that privilege and was like, oh shit, privilege don't save you when you say fucked up shit like this.
What do you mean privilege?
He's white. Dude,
we talking about white dudes.
That's true too, but it's also one of those things where I'm white and I feel like I got the right to tell anybody and everybody what to do, and you can't tell me what to do. And somebody tapped him on the shoulder like, nah, I think we can, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a white privilege thing or not, but I mean, maybe, I don't know,
right? Because like,
I didn't see anything in the comments that would make me be like, well, only a white person would do this, because I'm sure there's black people that say shit like that too. Like,
that's true too. Just say ignorant shit, yes.
You know, like I said, he was talking about two white dudes. I mean, you know, maybe he just felt comfortable being like, yo, this is how y'all need to handle y'all shit. You know, this is how I would handle it. And, you know, and no, I don't, like, the dude from Modern Family, I don't know how he can't take that as just an insult. I don't know how, you know, whether it's the truth or not.
He's been playing that role for years.
Yeah, ego's gonna get involved. It's gonna be real difficult to look at that and be like, yeah, well, he didn't mean anything by it. Like,
you know, nah, he specifically called me out for a reason.
Yeah,
like, but at least that's how you feel on the other side.
I mean, he was like, he's a wonderful actor and da 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 da, but really it's more like you're saying I can't pull this part off. So
right.
Whether he can or not, he probably gonna take it pretty personal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else happened. You know, the Orlando shooting, that shit happened, and mm-hmm. so there's been all kinds of news still coming out about that.
Yes, sir.
There's a Republican, Utah lieutenant governor who says he offered his heart is changed. He offers a heartfelt apology to the LGBT community. So he says, There were some kids in my class that were different. Sometimes I wasn't kind to them. I didn't know it at the time, but I know now that they were gay. I will forever regret not treating them with the kindness and dignity and respect, the love that they deserve. For that, I sincerely and humbly apologize. It wasn't just the tragedy in Orlando that changed how Cox views the LGBT community. Over the years, he's gotten to know lots of LGBT people whom he has come to consider close friends. Over the intervening years, my heart has changed. It's changed because of you. It's changed because I have gotten to know many of you. You have been patient with me. You have treated me with the kindness, dignity, and respect and the love that I very often did not deserve. And it has made me love you. That's interesting, man. I want to know, like, policy wise, what's he going to do?
That's where your true action comes in. And, you know, a lot of times, when it's time for re-election, how will you respond?
Mm-hmm. I just want to see how you gonna.
All right, because everybody's singing and tap dancing and talking about, I've always been there. Mm-mm.
Right. I don't know what he's gonna do, but yeah, I would like to see. You gotta be more than just your words when mm-hmm. you're in a position of power like that. You have the ability to help. Can't just be like, well, my mind changed, and then, you know, you're accountable for the shit you said and the things you've done. It doesn't
still be like, nah, y'all still can't get married or whatever it is that you're trying to rail against the machine with.
Yeah, it doesn't just like go away
right
because you decided, you know, like you still have to deal with all the shit that you've said and all the things that you've like any legislation you've done, all that shit. There's more information about the Orlando shooter. Allegedly, he was a regular at Pulse, the club he shot up. And he had a profile on a gay dating app.
Mm.
To which some people are like, well, he was gay, of course. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that means that.
No, that don't always mean that.
You know, maybe he was attracted to men as well. And maybe he had some self-hatred, quote-unquote, issues dealing with that. But I don't know that's he's a self-hating gay and he had to go kill everybody. I think even when people have quote-unquote self-hate, that hate is guided from outside, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you live in a homophobic society, it teaches you to hate yourself. You live when I see black people that hate black shit, like to just hate blackness, I like, on the one hand, obviously I don't co-sign or give them a pass on being anti-black. But at the same time, I know that it didn't come from within them.
Right.
Like they fed into all the negative shit that they get, you know. I've been kind of holding my tongue and stuff on social media and on the show because I don't really want to say anything I regret, but so much of this shit comes from religion.
Yes, sir.
You know, even the good, well-meaning people, it still is there. You know what I mean? Like when people don't, I don't say anything, I don't call them names, and I don't discriminate, but, you know, I just don't agree with their lifestyle. Like, they don't realize that is also bigotry. It's soft bigotry, right, but it's still bigotry. You know, imagine if someone said they didn't agree with something in your life that you couldn't fucking help, like your skin color or your gender. Like, right, when people just say, I don't agree, because they can't wrap their heads around the idea that an anomaly, quote unquote, something might exist outside of their purview, outside of their lived experience, it adds up, man. It just creates the culture that underlies all this shit, you know, where, you know, it emboldens people, in my opinion. Now I'm not trying to pass the buck on, I think the only real person to blame when these things happen is the person that does the horrible shit.
Correct.
Because many of us live in the same society and we find ways to deprogram or fight against or at least mitigate shit. You know, people find ways all the time. And I can't say, like, the pastor from Atlaw, James Manning, is the reason this dude shot somebody up. Like, there's 20 million people that listen to him. Not that, it's probably like 10 people, but there's 10 people that listen to him and 9 of them didn't do shit. You know what I mean? So I don't know how you fix the numbers and stuff, but I just kind of want to hold back on it because I know that it's complicated.
It is.
And in the same breath that I would like be ready to condemn kind of religion that whole, there's people that aren't even religious that hate gay people.
Yes, sir. So it's deeper than religion. Yeah. It's just for some people, like you said, some people that have nothing to do with religion, never stepped a day in their church, don't even believe in God, but go, I don't like that right there.
Yeah, and it's really, and all it does for a lot, religion in general just provides a platform and a place to organize for good and bad. And when it's bad, you know, it's shit like this, where you're like, in society, just this underpinning of just like, we hate gay people, we hate gay people, we hate gay people, you know. And I think it does add up, you know. The same thing happens with blackness and women and so much other shit, where it's just like this whole undercurrent that's constantly there, and it creates and fosters hate a lot of times. It helps it incubate in people. At any rate, you know, his father said he was upset about, he saw two men kissing and he was angered by that. But he was a regular at this club. He exchanged messages on different dating apps and stuff. You know, and people started recognizing, like, hey, that's the dude that I was talking to on the, dating app, you know. He also, Ty Smith, who also goes by the name Aries, said he'd seen Mateen being escorted drunk from the club. He'd get really, really drunk. He couldn't drink when he was at home around his wife or family. His father was really strict. He used to bitch about it. Yeah, so this is like, this is so fucked up. This is his outlet too. Mm-hmm. This is his place.
Right.
Where, like, he actually understood on some level that this is a place where people could go and be themselves and let loose and finally relax from all the pressures that were constantly trying to make them conform in life to something they might not really have been, you know?
True.
Sometimes he would go over in the corner and sit and drink by himself. Other times he would get so drunk he was loud and belligerent. He also explained to the Orlando Sentinel, which spoke with at least four club goers who remember seeing Mateen at Pulse at least a dozen times, we didn't really talk to him a lot, but I remember him saying things about his dad at times. He told us he had a wife and child. So yeah, apparently they stopped speaking to Mateen after he threatened him with a knife. Apparently after someone made a joke about religion, he ended up pulling the knife. He said if he ever messed with him again, you know how it turned out. He was married in 2009. He's abusive and unstable. His ex-wife says they were married for just a few months before her parents rescued her from their home in Florida, leaving most of her belongings behind. It's still unclear if he was married again after their divorce was finalized in 2011.
That shit was real. She was like, you know, you can keep everything, I'm out.
Yep. So, you know, and then, you know, as soon as people heard that, oh, see, he was gay, that's why he did it, you know. But you really don't fucking know, man.
Mm-mm.
You know, a lot of this seemed like he just wanted attention. Like, he called a news station, and, like, made a chilling phone call to a local news station during the massacre. Mm-hmm. I did it for ISIS, I did it for the Islamic State, he said. He called them about 45 minutes after the shooting began. So yeah, it was about, and I think in this case, it seemed like ISIS was the best way to get attention. Cause it don't seem like he was extremely religious. Don't seem like he was really tied to any sort of ideology. Seemed like he just was like, yeah, this is the best way for me to get, if people hear this, they'll fucking talk about me. And that's really, I seemed like all he wanted. They said he threatened to bring a gun to kill students in his elementary school.
Shit.
Yep. Go way back, man. He was just 10 years old. So yeah, they say he had unruly behavior and threats of violence against other people. I don't know, man. It sounds like someone should have intervened a long time ago in his life. Like, get him talking to somebody or
get him meds help, or something. Help that maybe. We may have needed.
Right. His wife said she tried to talk him out of the Orlando attack, but now there may be charges coming against her. Not his ex-wife in 2009, but
his current wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
She feared he was going to attack a gay nightclub overnight Saturday and pleaded him not to do anything violent, but failed to warn the police after he left. His wife, Noor Zahid Salman, told the FBI that her husband assured her he was simply going to see friends, although she believed he was actually going to unleash terror at the nightclub, which is a two-hour drive north of their home in Port St. Lucie.
Oh, see, so she even knew that's where he would go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
27 victims remain hospitalized Tuesday, 6 are in critical condition, 49 are dead, 53 are injured. She apparently had an inkling about her husband's sinister plot after she told the FBI she once drove to put him to Pulse because he wanted to scope it out. In addition, she said she was with him when he bought the ammunition and a holster, several officials familiar with the case said. Authorities are considering filing criminal charges against her for failing to tell them what she knew before the attack, but no decision has been made. She's cooperating with investigators, several officials said, added, but worried that once charges are filed, she may stop talking. Mateen, who was carrying a handgun and a Sig Sauer MCX, died in a shootout with the police following the worst mass shooting in the U.S.
Yeah, of course she'll stop talking, because she go, oh, y'all press charges against me? I ain't got nothing else to say to you.
Yep. But yeah, it's just kind of weird because with the abuse that he put the first woman through,
right.
I have, like, because everyone has, you know, kind of a hot take right now, and everyone's upset, and they want to blame people and blame somebody, and, you know, Lord knows there's plenty of fucking things to go around, you know, whether it's guns being available that are that deadly, and whether it's his wife not warning people beforehand, whether it's his coworkers who said the dude was openly racist and hateful and shit, and, you know, whether it's so many people that in hindsight you go back and be like, well, maybe they could have stopped them, maybe this could have stopped them, but I don't know if you can truly ever stop anyone who's that fucking determined to just kill people where they don't even care about their own life. But I don't know enough about their situation. I mean, if he was abusing her, I don't know what you do. You know what I'm saying? If we find out, like, yeah, and he abused her as well, and she was afraid to leave, then what do you do? More information keeps coming out every single day, and everyone has a definitive take, and then some shit happens, and it's like, well, now this information is out there. So I don't know. I don't know what you do. I know what you don't do. A Tennessee lawman is holding the AR-15 giveaway after the Orlando shooting.
What kind of gun is that?
The same gun that was using to attack.
What?
The AR-15.
What the fuck is wrong with him?
He's offering two AR-15 assault rifles as door prizes.
Tennessee. For pulling the right number?
Andy Holt is his name. When asked if he thought if giving away an assault rifle might be offensive, he said it's not intended to come across as offensive. It's intended to help people.
Shoot more people? Right?
He went on to blame the media for repeated use of the AR-15 in mass shootings. Why do we see the repeated use of the AR-15? Well, because it's interviews like this. It's because the media's absolute infatuation with the AR-15.
The media, you, doll. You the one giving them away for free, not the fucking media. What is happening here?
Well, I would say, when he say, I think it's just chicken or egg shit, because they're using the gun, which is why the media is talking about it.
Right.
Like, it's not like they came out of nowhere and just started doing it. It's because you were talking about it, so now we have to figure a way out.
And we talking about it now because you giving a fucker away. I don't understand this concept.
Yeah. Anyway, his fundraising event is a hog fest and turkey shoot. He also cracked a joke about the transgender community. God damn it.
Did he throw a little racism in there too?
He also said you can inflict a lot of damage. A Molotov cocktail would have done the same thing. He said Barack Obama has no control over the event, and the women's division for the shoot is only open to biological females. So many people just don't want to be shit.
Right? They's like, I ain't shit, and you can't make me be shit. Nope. Mm-mm. You trying to help them out? I don't want your help.
I mean, they just don't. What do you do when somebody don't want to be shit?
Nothing. There's nothing.
They're
just
trolling.
Do.
Like, people died, and it's you using the time to get to trolling. You know, like, that's like, something is wrong with people when 50 people die, like 100 people, you know, get shot basically, and then you can't wait to rush on Twitter and talk shit and you can't wait to fucking go online and leave comments on articles, and you like, you start thinking of people to harass, like, you know, when you're, I'm gonna get this gun away, I'm gonna make a joke about transgender community, make my dick hard. It's just a sick, sick world. Apparently there's a pastor who's making has made some controversial remarks after the Orlando attack. He said his name is Pastor Roger Jimenez of the Verity Baptist Church. He says, are you sad that the 50 pedophiles are killed today? He said in a sermon, no, I think that's great. I think that helps society. I think Orlando, Florida is a little safer tonight. We don't need to do anything to help, as far as I'm concerned. Orlando is a little bit safer tonight. So yeah, he also went on to call for more death at the hands of the government. If we lived in a righteous government, they should round them all up and put them up against a firing wall and blow their brains out. Now, what I'm saying is this. People were real quick to run to the Islamophobia over this. And the radicalized Muslim terrorism, blah, 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 right? This dude ain't no Muslim. Mm-mm. He's a local Orlando pastor. I mean, well, not, is he in Orlando? Where's he at? Sacramento. He's a Sacramento pastor. Yeah, so this ain't Allah, dog.
Yeah, somebody brought up in the chat and make me think, do people know what a pedophile means?
They don't care. They don't care. They just demonize anyone who's not like them. You know, it's that ultimate offense list. Like, you're not straight, so therefore you're not only queer, but you're devious. Like, you're not just different, you're devious, you're sinister, you're going to molest kids and shit like that. Like, you can't just be that.
Yeah, says the person who has probably done some fucked up shit in their life too, but knows about it because it's not open, right?
He's against gay sex, but he's for murder.
Come on, right? Dog. Come
he's,
on.
I mean, he's advocating murder.
Yes, he is.
Thou shalt not kill just goes right out the book, right? What part of the book is killing people?
Nah, there's no love behind any of those words. There's nothing but pure hatred.
This is a complicated one. Speaking of love, Chick-fil-A opened up on Sunday to help all victims despite anti-gay rights record.
Good.
So on the one, it's complicated in my opinion, because on the one hand, ultimately I do think it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And some people I saw, they were just so upset because I was on Facebook, I didn't even have a comment. And some people were like, fuck them, they part of the reason this happened. And I do agree that their attitudes and them giving to anti-LGBT organization, part of the reason that these attitudes persist is because of people like Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to erase that.
Mm-mm.
That being said, if they are loving Christians and they want to do things for the right reason, and they want to give food to blood donors, basically to re-nourish them,
right,
for and open up on a Sunday when they never open.
That to me, maybe that's just me. That speaks volumes, and it's one of those things where we live in a society where you are not allowed to change, you are not allowed to grow. Whatever snapshot somebody got of you, that's what you offer the rest of your fucking life. And I think that for them to come in on a Sunday speaks volumes in itself, because y'all know they never open up on Sunday. And it's one of those things where they realize, hey, we can't be so hard and so cruel that we don't even care about the community that actually comes and purchases our products. To me, this is a very good thing. Now, if they continue this is a whole nother thing. But in my opinion, this is a good step in the right direction, because they could have still been like, fuck it, we ain't gonna open up for shit.
Well, I don't know if they're gonna continue it. I mean, hopefully people not gonna get killed every Sunday.
Right. I mean, not when I mean if they continue to do things to change the perspective in the view that a lot of people have for them. That's what I'm talking about, because this is kind of a first step, but there are more things they can do if they choose to do those things.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't believe they will. I think this is a one-time thing, and it's just, this is a huge emergency. On the one hand, I'm glad that they opened and then somebody was there to help, you know, like, what people forget about Chick-fil-A as a organization is that many of the people that work for it don't even, like, they're still a company. Like, they don't have, they have policies against discrimination. Mm-hmm. They hire gay people. They do all this shit, but we know they're run by a bigot. I'm sorry, because I don't, Dan Cathy is a bigot, you know. Anybody that agrees with his bullshit is a bigot too. Mm-hmm. So they have these positions that they hold as a corporation, but they don't actually operate within the corporation on that basis. The problem for me is I don't know that this signifies a change of any significance. You know, they have franchisees. Maybe these specific franchisees don't fuck with the corporate policy, or
that's true too.
You know, they
might not be corporate. Yeah, I feel
you. Maybe they're trying to change things. Maybe they're fighting the fight from within. I don't want to tell people not to fight, you know, because I do understand it's an organization. It's not, Dan Cathy didn't personally fly his jet down there to help or hurt, but it's just complicated because they do have this long ass history, you know, and you just can't forget about it. You know, you just can't erase it. You know, I know they've made some changes, you know, but, you know, they still have a long fucking way to go. So, I mean, it's better. I guess it's better than nothing.
Right.
You know, so you got to look at it with a grain of salt, because
it's more
if they would have been closed, people would have been like, see, look at these motherfuckers. They Christian, but then when some tragedy happened, they still got their doors closed, not helping people when they could have.
Right.
So I understand it was catch 22, but you got to be called accountable for your past actions as a corporation as well.
True.
At any rate, man, I understand people that was really fucking pissed. I understand the people that was actually kind of happy and like good. It was complicated. It wasn't some simple shit. Anderson Cooper, was on the scene and doing interviews and stuff. He talked to Pam Bondi, who was now trying to, say that, you know, she's here to help out the community and all this stuff. She's Florida's attorney general. But the problem that she had was in this interview, Anderson came with receipts. And she was not ready.
I want to ask you, I saw you today saying that anyone who attacks the LGBT community, our LGBT community, you said, will be gone after with the full extent of the law.
Exactly right.
I talked to a lot of gay and lesbian people here yesterday who are not fans of yours, and who said that they thought you were being a hypocrite, that you for years have fought, you've basically gone after gay people, said that in court that gay people, simply by fighting for marriage equality, were trying to do harm to the people of Florida, to induce public harm, I believe was the term you used in court. Do you really think you're a champion of the gay community?
Let me tell you, when I was sworn in as Attorney General, I put my hand on the Bible and was sworn to uphold the Constitution of the state of Florida. That's not a law. That was voted into our state constitution by the voters of Florida. That's what I was defending. Mm-hmm. Had nothing to do. I've never said I don't like gay people. That's ridiculous.
But you do say. But do you worry about using language accusing gay people of trying to do harm?
By the way, he didn't say you don't like gay people.
Right.
She's like, I've never said I don't like gay people. Well, that's not the fuck I said. But I love how you just like ignored that shit and was like, yeah, but you did say this.
But do you worry about using language accusing gay people of trying to do harm to the people of Florida? When doesn't that send a message to some people who might have bad ideas
Anderson,
in mind?
Anderson, I don't believe gay people could do harm to the state of Florida.
But you argued that in court.
My lawyer argued a case defending what the Supreme Court allowed the voters to put in our state constitution.
But you were arguing that gay marriage, if there was gay marriage, if there was same-sex marriage, that would do harm to the people of Florida, to Florida society.
That it was constitutional to put that in this in the
Constitution. Are you saying you did not believe it would do harm to Florida?
Of course not. Of course not. Gay people. No, I've never said that. Those words have never come out of my mouth.
But that is specifically what you were arguing in court.
No. What we argued was it was in the Constitution of the state of Florida. Let me give you an example. Medical marijuana. A 12-year-old could get it if it passed. We took that to the Supreme Court because of that language. Hold on. But if that passed, I would defend that as well because it's my job to defend what's in
the
Constitution.
Those are not the same thing.
Say what, Karen?
Those are not the same thing.
It's her job to defend the bigotry if that's what happens. But then you get to turn around and be like, but I'm a champion for the gay community. I'm helping y'all.
Like, people ain't seen the shit she been doing.
Oh, everybody doing it. You know, I saw some of them Republican politicians with their thoughts and prayers. Which thoughts? The fucking vile thoughts you've been thinking or the words that have been coming out of your mouth that we've been paying attention to?
Of the state of Florida. That's what it was about.
The hotline that you've been talking about on television, which allows family members and spouses of the dead to get information,
yes,
which is incredibly important, and I appreciate you talking about it on the air. Had there been no gay marriage, had there been no same-sex marriage, you do realize that spouses, there would be no spouses, that boyfriends and girlfriends of the dead would not be able to get information and would not be able to probably even visit in the hospital here.
Well,
so isn't there a sick irony in that?
Well, yeah, and let me tell you something. Let me take it a step farther. People aren't, right now, who are partners and aren't married officially, aren't able to get information. So we're trying to assist them in getting information. Because early
on, we only
had 24
people. Isn't there a sick irony that you, for years, were fighting that very idea?
I was defending the Constitution of what's over 69% of the voters put in the Constitution.
You weren't ready.
You know, the courts, the federal court said that not the Constitution,
right,
and you continued
and
to fight it.
No, that's why we rushed it to get it to the U.S. Supreme Court,
well,
because we needed
before
finality.
It was the Supreme Court, there was a federal judge, and you continued to fight it after the federal judge ruled. And, in fact, you spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of taxpayer money fighting
it. We rushed to get it to the Supreme Court. You know what today's about?
He is not letting her off the leash at all.
He was like, you will not rap, nope, because, you know, he's gay. So he's like, nah, doll, I paid attention. You talking about you're a champion now. Okay, but you remember when you was fighting against people?
Receipts.
You spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight against this shit. And if it wasn't for the federal government saying it is a law across the board, you really wouldn't care. And you know, he's basically like, hey, people see what you're doing.
Soon as she tried to slide that champion for the gay community shit through there, Anderson had to cut off and let her know.
12:15.
Yeah, it was 12:15 exactly, if I'm not mistaken. It was
now you see something. Now you see, now you done fucked up, you know that.
I know you done fucked up, right?
Right. And she wasn't ready. She thought this was gonna be a simple interview.
She ain't know what to say.
She ain't realized he was gonna come with all the receipts.
Nah.
He went in the back. He done went through the files. He was like, hey, you remember what you did back in the day?
Now you see something. Now you see, now you done fucked up, you know that, don't you?
That's really the embodiment of this whole fucking interview.
Right.
Is that Minister Society policing
human beings? Today's
right.
About victims.
It's about gay and lesbian
victims. It sure is.
Right.
LGBT
right.
Victims.
Yeah, everyone. See, they try. See, this is why I don't understand when black people talk down on LGBT people, because this is the shit they do to us.
Mm-hmm.
She really tried to change it to, no, it's about everybody. It's just about the victims. It's about Floridians. It's about gay brown people that got shot up.
Come on now, they ain't talking about that. The most of them were Hispanic. Come on, dog. That's brown people.
He went there on the Latino night on purpose.
Right.
Like, be specific. Stop trying to turn it into everybody. Cause y'all, it's that I don't see color shit.
Right.
But you doing it with gender, with sexual orientation, where you're like, hey, I mean, to me, they just all people. No, he targeted a group of people for a fucking reason.
Yes, he did.
I'm just wondering, is it hypocritical to portray yourself as a champion of the gay community when I'm just reflecting what a lot of gay people have told me they don't see you as
that? Anderson, I'm not portraying myself as anything other than trying to help human beings who have lost their lives, who are right behind us right now in hospital beds, who have family members who aren't getting the services they need. This morning, you know what I've been doing? Trying to fight with a funeral home for overcharging family members to bury their loved ones. I'm not championing anything other than Floridians. That's what this is about. We're about human beings.
Right.
And this is about victims who need help. This is about family members who need services.
It's just that I will say I have never really seen you talk about gays and lesbians and transgender people in a positive way until now. I've been through history for the last year, and I saw you tweeting about, you know, National Dog Month and National Shelter Dog Appreciation Day or Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. You know, it is Gay Pride Month. You've never even tweeted about Gay Pride Month. I mean,
well, actually, if you look at my website now, we have hands clasped together, all different colored rainbow hands.
So you just put that up now? So,
yeah, I did after this horrible tragedy. Absolutely. The only thing
So you just put that up now? Did he really hit her with that?
Right.
With this, so you just put that up now? Mm-hmm.
I see what I'm saying.
I thought.
No, so you're saying that you done fucked up now. You know that, don't you? No, you done fucked up, don't you?
She didn't get the media training for this interview. She was not ready.
Woo, she wasn't ready for them actual questions.
Right. And he wasn't letting up off of her.
Mm-hmm.
Are human beings whose lives were lost.
So that's your message to gay and lesbian people here. Because again, I'm just telling you what people have been telling me to ask you. Moving forward, do you see yourself as being a vocal champion for gay and lesbian citizens in the state?
They are citizens just like anyone else.
No.
Of course. My goodness, Anderson, we've had 49 people murdered simply because they were in a bar at the wrong time.
Right.
That's horrible. Yeah. I'm a career prosecutor.
At the wrong time.
They were in the bar at the wrong time. That's all it was.
So Hans is no. They were in a bar. They was in a gay bar.
Yeah.
Specifically gay bar.
Yep.
And they were
happening to be brown on the wrong night.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Fuck out of here.
These family members are devastated.
Well, it's good
these
to hear.
Surviving victims are devastated.
I know.
That's what this is about.
Right. I know a lot of gay and lesbian people in the state want to feel that the people who represent them represent everybody in the state.
We're human beings.
Right.
And that's what this is about.
Well, I appreciate
that's
you talking
to us.
That's
what this is about. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for all you're doing on behalf of the victims.
Thank you.
Thanks. Pam Bondi.
Yeah, they changed the subject. We're all human beings. I don't see color.
No.
I don't see sexuality.
Now, you see, now, you know you done fucked up, right? Now, you see.
Right, because
you know you done fucked up.
He did call her out because the thing is, she went, I'm a champion. He's like, yeah, I went back through your stuff. You know, we talking about, you know, dogs. And, you know, I ain't never see you putting nothing out in these streets.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, yeah, we got multicolored hands. She was like, you just did that, right? Okay. So after this gets old, that means you're going to revert back to your old shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not going to matter no more because it's not going to be a top story, but you're here for all Floridians. Okay.
Right. She's going to go right back to that hate.
Come on, because the people that voted you in is not going to continue to vote for you. You talk about them gays, dog.
Because the people that hate gay people will not be swayed by this.
Mm-mm.
Like, the humanity won't be in them, especially since dude said ISIS. They just going to be like, see, that's that Muslim shit. See, my hatred is different.
Yep.
The way I hate gay people, it's some other shit. I don't gotta kill them. I just hate them and talk about killing them. That's different. A gator pulled a child into water near Disney Resort in Orlando.
Oh, I heard about this.
2-year-old boy. So everybody can feel superior to the parents now.
And Michelle, the Orlando community already reeling now. More shock and horror as the frantic search continues at this very hour for that two-year-old little boy and the gator who grabbed him.
Visitors capturing the heartbreaking scene on camera as helicopters search the dark lagoon at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa, where authorities say a large alligator has dragged the toddler into the water. All of this happening as his parents tried desperately to save the two-year-old.
The father entered the water and tried to grab the child, was not successful in doing so. At some point, I'm told that the mother also may have entered the water. So the parents diligently tried to get the child.
It happened around 9:30. Authorities say the family, mother, father, and three kids, had just arrived at the resort Sunday from Nebraska. Witnesses say the resort was holding movie night near the beach at the Seven Seas Lagoon. Investigators say the family was relaxing on the sand near the water's edge when the alligator suddenly appeared.
It's my understanding that the father was there nearby and the child was playing in the water, just a foot or so into the water, and the alligator came up and attacked.
And he saw this happen?
Yes, and the father at some point struggled to try to get his son.
The lagoon is a major part of the Disney World Resort. Disney is the parent company of ABC7.
Everyone here at the Walt Disney World Resort is devastated by this tragic accident.
As you can see, it is very dark out on the water, making the search for the child and the gator extremely difficult. Authorities say dive units as well as several rescue boats are currently out on the lagoon.
We have a alligator trapper on the water right now with FWC officers and Orange County Sheriff's Office deputies that are on the water. And like I said, we're putting every effort forward and we'll be here with them until there's resolution.
Witnesses describe that alligator as being 4 to 7 feet long. Authorities say that the little boy's father suffered scratches on his hands trying to save the son. That frantic search continuing throughout the night. Live in the Satellite Center.
And as of 14 minutes ago, it seems they recovered the boy's body. So.
Oh.
Yep. So I'm sure people are going to blame the parents. seems to me if this is Disney Resort and you have kids out there, you might have to do something to keep the zone alligator free.
Yes, sir.
You know, a fence, something. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
I don't know.
I know Disney.
People expect parents to be fucking out. You know, just
omnipresent, right?
Know everything that's right. Gonna happen before it happens.
Come on, I don't care how diligent you are. I don't care how goddamn diligent you are. A child is a small person, and they are a separate entity than you are. And there's no way you can control or dictate and manipulate every single goddamn aspect of your child's life. It is fucking impossible. It's just impossible. Yes, you do need to monitor. Yes, you do need to watch. But there's some things that are out of your control. These, just like with the baby that fell in the gorilla pit. They went to Walt Disney World not expecting their child to get ate by a fucking alligator.
All right. I agree. In other news, Howard is selling the nation's only black-owned TV station, Howard University.
Hmm.
So they've had the nation's only black-owned public broadcasting station for the last 35 years. Hmm. They've won Emmy Awards, and there's been the source of groundbreaking documentaries produced by black filmmakers. Like many HBCUs, Howard has had to deal with funding issues, staff cutbacks, and infrastructure repair. However, this could all change soon because of an offer that is currently on the table. The Federal Communications Commission, FCC, has started an auction that will lead to the sale of the university stations. Channel 32 and its unused digital channel 32-2. It is estimated that the sale of the station could garner between $185 to $500 million.
That's a lot of money.
The decision is historic and could have lasting impact on Howard University, but the cost to the black community may be too great. The loss of black-owned news media and public affairs outlet in the nation's capital would be a tragedy.
Yeah, I could understand that, too, because it would be a space that unknown, very creative black people or small black people who may have never got a chance to do this anywhere else, that opportunity is now taken away from them.
The university outlined four possible options for the station that include selling, not selling, or changing WHUT to a lower wavelength spectrum. Howard's president, Wayne A.I., and Frederick stated in a memo, Howard University must consider the significant financial opportunity presented with the spectrum auction. At the same time, we will consider the value of what WHUT adds to experimental learning learning opportunities for students and faculty at our School of Communications and College of Engineering, and the program and public service opportunities we provide to WHUT through our loyal viewers. And this also comes in the same like little span, same few hours as finding out that Johnson Publishing is selling Ebony and Jet magazines to a Texas firm.
Wow.
Right? What are people sitting in the beauty salon gonna read now?
Ain't that the truth?
But yeah, it's a Texas-based private equity firm, and they're selling them to them for an undisclosed amount. Johnson Publishing will retain its Fashion Fair cosmetics business, its historic Ebony photo archives, which remain up for sale. The deal, which closed in May, also included the assumption of debt. Man, makes you wonder though, what happens with those photos too?
And it
hope someone buys them
that actually cares. And a lot of times, and maybe this is just me being cynical, a lot of times, particularly when brown people shit get bought up by larger corporations who a lot of times have a disconnect to the community at large, they whitewash the shit. The shit goes in the vault and never get picked up again. Nobody ever hears of it. A lot of times they just buy it and then just wipe it off the face of the earth.
Well, people say that about BET, but BET's continued to be helmed and actually really good for black people. True. In the last few years. I think they've actually been better under Viacom.
Yes,
they were under Bob Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully something good will happen. You know?
I hope so, but
because it's hard to turn a paper magazine into a digital magazine.
That's true, but I'm just going by the track record. That's normally what happens. Somebody come by you out and just everything just disappears, and you go, "What the fuck?"
Okay, yeah, I'm not arguing. I just said I'm hoping that it's not like that.
Me too. We on the same page with that one.
No. Also, let's see. Social media really is bad for your health, mental health. Remember when social media was a new thing, or more importantly, when it used to be fun? Remember that? Pepperidge Farm members.
Apparently so.
I'm talking about the days before mama and grandma and your aunties and them joined and started judging your every comment, picture, and relationship status update. That's your family.
My own dog.
But, basically, this person.
You better learn how to use them filters and filter their ass right on out.
Right. Well, you know, if you have douche ass family, you know, it just sucks. But, just try to have some cool family.
Don't friend them.
Right. But a study done by the University of Pittsburgh in March said of 1,787 American adults were asked to share how much time they spent on social media, and they had their risk of depression assessed through a questionnaire. What researchers found was that on average, people spend about 61 minutes on at least one platform during the day. The more time spent on it, the greater risk of feeling depressed, as Cosmo pointed out for the study. What you're exposed to when you dive into social media accounts is also a huge player in how positively or negatively they affect you. Consider signing on to a feed filled with angry political rants, updates on breaking news, tragic news items, hundreds of posts about people struggling with, say, debilitating illness or interpersonal turmoil. Comparing this to perusing a news feed peppered with adorable animal photos, funny quips, and inspiring quotes. Chances are the latter would be more likely to make you smile, while the former would make you feel anxious, aggravated, or sad, no matter how strong your self-image is. Well, one thing that makes you wonder, though, is I think you would have to talk about how many people have maybe clinical depression. How did you define depression in this study?
Right.
You know, because I think that matters.
It does. It does, and I think a lot of people, in my opinion, are on social media and don't know how to use the tools. When I mean the tools, they don't know how to filter, they don't know how to block, they don't know how to mute. Like, I'm surprised how many people don't know how to do these things, and the social media sites aren't friendly to that. Like, they aren't user-friendly. You almost have to ask in order to figure out how to do a lot of this shit.
And then this person talks in the article, they talk about, you know, unfollowing people. So
and people take that shit personal nowadays. It's like, people I love, I unfollow because I just don't. It's just too much at times. You're like, nah, I'm good. It don't mean we can't be cool just because I don't follow you.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just think I was way ahead of the curve on this one. That's all I'm saying. I will block and unfriend your ass so fast.
I've used a lot of tools. I mute certain people. I mute certain phrases and shit like that. Like, you have to kind of make it conducive to your own personal mental health. And sometimes I'm like, you know what? Not today. I just won't even go on, depending on what's happening.
Yep. All right. Let's get to some of our other news here. Some of our fucking with black people. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go around and we read articles from all over the globe and we score them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. You know what's funny? I was just making a joke about Chadwick Boseman playing a bunch of people in movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a trailer for a movie based off of this. Hold on, let me see if I can play it for you.
In a world where black history is outlawed, one man has to be all the historical black people throughout time to teach his class what it means to have black history. Starring Chadwick Boseman as Martin Luther King Jr.
I have a dream.
And Chadwick Boseman as George Washington Carver.
Behold the peanut.
Also starring Chadwick Boseman as Harriet Tubman.
I can't die but once.
And also starring Chadwick Boseman as Sojourner Truth.
Ain't I a woman?
Introducing Chadwick Boseman as Malcolm X.
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
Starring Chadwick Boseman as Rosa Parks.
No.
Featuring Chadwick Boseman as Leon Robinson in the Five Heartbeats.
Don't you want to hang with old Eddie Kane?
Starring Chadwick Boseman as Michael Jordan.
I don't take pictures with niggas.
And also Chadwick Boseman as Oprah Winfrey.
You get a car.
Then Chadwick Boseman as Little Richard.
A wop bop a loop bop balop bam boom.
Chadwick Boseman as Marion Barry.
Bitch set me up.
Co-starring Chadwick Boseman as Beyonce.
You must not know about me.
Introducing Chadwick Boseman as LeBron James.
I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Chadwick Boseman will also have to be Snoop Dogg.
Fuck shizzle.
And Chadwick Boseman as that one nigga who bagged your groceries down at the grocery store.
Would that be paper or plastic?
Then Chadwick Boseman will be Queen Latifah.
Who you calling a bitch?
And as a revelation coming to the screen, as only Chadwick Boseman can do it, he'll also be Karen Mara.
We need empathy and sympathy.
And finally, Chadwick Boseman will be you.
Damn this nigga and everything.
Coming to BET this fall. Make sure you watch Black History, the movie.
Black History.
Oh, what the hell is wrong with you? I Nicholas is everybody.
Might have to go check that out. Sounds kind of interesting. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that gets a zero.
A zero?
Okay. That's just the best. I'll go watch that.
All right, cool. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to check it out. I'm gonna give it a 25 because nobody else is gonna be in the movie. But you know, I like Chadwick that much. Speaking of actors and being in movies, Zoe's out.
All right, he gonna produce. He gonna be the cameraman. He gonna be the crew doing the food. Oh, he just got clones of himself.
Star Trek's Zoe Saldana was talking. You know, she's going around doing some interviews, and she's talking about that Nina Simone. You know that movie's coming out. She talked about feminism, talked about being a mother, you know, a bunch of stuff, you know, but of course they had to get down to the nitty gritty. What's up with that? So with that Nina stuff, baby. Apparently they asked her what was going on, and she says, there's no one way to be black. I'm black, and the way I know how to be, you have no idea who I am. I'm black. I'm raising black men. Don't you ever think you can look at me and address me with such disdain. So at first I'm like, I mean, come on, man. You know that's not what people are saying, but, and I know that there have been, people have said that she said, the opposite before, that we're all, what does race matter? We're all human and stuff like that. But I'm gonna be honest, I went back looking for those comments and I read the ones I could find, and I didn't find her to be saying anything offensive.
Yeah, I do think some of the critiques are unfair, and a lot of them are very valid. It's probably gonna be a terrible movie.
But... Well, no. I'm being specific here before you even get into this movie stuff.
Okay.
I'm saying what people were saying, well, she said people of color don't exist, and she said that, you know, her views on race were too simplistic and stuff like that. I went and looked those comments up because I would like to know what she was saying that people found so offensive. And the quote that kept coming up is this one. It's an interview with BET. She said, I find it uncomfortable to have to speak about my identity all of the time, when in reality, it's not something that drives me or wakes me up out of bed every day. I didn't grow up in a household where I was categorized by my mother. I was just Zoe, and I could have and be anything that I ever wanted to do. Every human being is the same as you. So to all of a sudden leave your household and have people always ask you, what are you? What are you? Is the most uncomfortable question. And it's literally the most repetitive question. I can't wait to be in a world where people are sized by their soul and how much they can contribute as individuals and not what they look like. She said, I literally run away from people that use words like ethnic. It's preposterous. To me, there's no such thing as people of color, because in reality, people aren't white. Paper is white. People are pink. It's a bit ridiculous. When I have to explain to a human being that is an adult like I am, that looks intelligent, but for some reason I have to question his intelligence and explain to him as if he was a 2-year-old my composition in order for him to say, oh, I guess I can chill with you, I can work with you. I will not underestimate a human being, and I will not allow another human being to underestimate me. I feel like as a race, that's a minute problem against the problems we face just as women versus men in a world that's more geared and designed to cater towards the male species. That is a situation that I spend time thinking about and working towards ending that. I guess we could talk about that. So, like I said, I didn't feel like, because I think people were trying to be like, I'm not a race. I'm just, you know
that's not what she's saying.
I don't think that's what she was saying, but clearly she didn't like talking about it or being asked, because she has a different reality than some of us. Not every of us, but there's, right. And I've seen other people that aren't famous that are just people of mixed race backgrounds who are like, yo, I get fucking tired of the first thing people ask me, so what are you?
Right.
You know?
That's very valid. And, you know, everybody was raised very, very differently, and it does not erase who she is by her just expressing herself. And sometimes I think when people express themselves and it's quote unquote not what people or the collective group considers the norm, you get a backlash.
Yeah. You know, and I don't think she's ever thought that she wasn't black.
Right.
I mean, she talked about when she was a kid, her mother didn't say, well, you're this, you're that. She just kind of said, you know, you're my daughter, you're that, you know, that's it. She says, she also talked about being a black woman before. She says, when I go to the DR, the press in Santo Domingo always ask, que te consideras Dominicano o Americana? What do you consider yourself as, Dominican or American? I don't understand. It's the same people asking the same questions. So I say time and time again, yo soy una mujer negra. I am a black woman. They go, oh no, you are dark skinned. I'm like, no, let's get it straight. I'm a black woman. Now this came from, when did this happen? Why is there no date on this? Oh, 9/17, so maybe last year. They don't have a year.
Last year.
Yeah, they don't even had a year on it. 4 years ago. So this wasn't even, so this was 4 years ago she said this. This is before the Nina Simone shit. So she's never seemed to have a problem identifying as Black, mm-mm. It seems. That being said, doesn't mean she should play Nina Simone. But I just thought, like I said, right, some of the criticisms of her were like, she also, now you want to be Black? It's like, well, she's,
she never denied it.
She said she is a Black woman.
Right.
Anyway, like I said, at that point, I was kind of like, okay, I can see what you're saying. Like, you're raising Black sons. How dare anybody question your Blackness? That's cool, sis, but we seen the trailer for that movie and the prosthetics.
It don't look good.
And that's when they switched the whole narrative. The very idea that Saldana could be considered too pretty to play Simone seems to make the actress more sad than defensive. I never saw her as unattractive. Nina looks like half my family, she says, but if you think the prosthetic nose I wore was unattractive, then maybe you need to ask yourself, what do you consider beautiful? Do you consider a thinner nose beautiful? So the wider you get, the more insulted you become? That's not the criticism I saw.
Mm-mm.
Like, literally, I didn't see anyone saying, why, she's too pretty to play this woman, why is she doing this?
Nope.
I didn't see anybody be like, but Nina Simone was ugly.
Nope.
At least not no Black people. Nobody that I saw who had a problem with her getting this role started with some, it's because she's too pretty.
Nope.
To play this part. Now, the part that says, the part about being too pretty, it seems to come from the author of the piece, Sarah Van Boven. Van Boven, I'm guessing. Sarah Van Boven. Really interested to look up her picture and see what she's a white woman seems. Okay. Huh. Okay. Cause I don't know, man. That sounds like some white shit to think that people had an issue because she's too quote unquote pretty to play Nina Simone. Cause nobody's critique was that.
Mm-mm.
Like maybe that was some white people's critique. That was no Black person's critique that she's too pretty to play this role.
Yeah,
so
who are these white people dying for a Nina Simone movie?
Yeah, like you can say that bullshit as far as that being the reason.
No.
So then she goes on to say, what seemed to drive criticism about Saldana daring to take the role, one she turned down for a year, by the way, was not just the idea that she wore darkening makeup to play Simone, but the even deeper affront when the job went to someone seen as apolitical. This characterization doesn't necessarily square with Saldana's own experiences. Reading all the postings for casting for the 20 years I've been an actress, there's so often that last line about the director wants to go traditional with this part, she says, meaning Caucasian. Not every now and then. I encounter films like James Cameron, J.J. Abrams, Ben Affleck, James Gunn, and they go, why not you? You're traditional. You're everything. Still, she has no regret. I don't necessarily get that part. What that has to do with the Nina Simone part.
Nothing.
She still has no regrets. The script probably would still be lying around going from office to office, agency to agency, and nobody would have done it. Female stories aren't relevant enough, especially a Black female story, she says. I made a choice. Do I continue to pass it on the script and hope that the right Black person will do it? Or do I say, you know what, whatever the consequences this may bring about, my casting is nothing in comparison to the fact that this story must be told. The fact that we're talking about her, that Nina Simone is trending, we fucking won. That's not why it was trending.
Mm-mm.
For so many years, nobody knew who the fuck she was. She is essential to our American history as a woman first, and only then is everything. Man, but you know this movie's gonna end up being received as a farce. It's not gonna Mm-mm. engender any it's goodwill not. Towards her memory.
Right.
It's gonna be seen as the movie you shouldn't have done mm-hmm. more than anything else. More than the Nina Simone movie, it's gonna be the movie So Is Aldana shouldn't have done. I know she's trying to spin it, man, because she's human and she sees the shit that people say about her, yeah, and it's gotta hurt. You know what I mean? Especially considering the movie is you're done, it's signed, you know, people already got a problem with you. You just gotta weather the storm. I mean, she in some good franchises where she can get to kind of make money and ignore this shit to mm-hmm. the best of her abilities. Mm-hmm. But if we're being real, as an artist, it's gotta sting, man. But that's why you shouldn't have did it, man. I don't agree. You should not have done it. Like, it would have been better sitting somewhere and not being told if you're not the person to tell it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't, like, it's like saying, well, at least we got a Wolverine movie. It's like, yeah, but it fucking sucked.
Right.
You know what I mean? Anyway.
All right, because the problem is bigger than that. It's one of those things where people are going, well, you're playing an iconic person, and people are looking, and they're looking at Nina Simone and going, you don't fit a lot of her characteristics, and you know, and they were saying there were people that probably could have played the role better, where they wouldn't have to do all this CGI and makeup and stuff. And my thing is this, she still could have played the role if they would have done it better. That's the thing. It just was not good, and you just don't want to admit it wasn't a good, it's just not good. It just looks false and fake with the makeup and the prosthetics and shit like that. That shit matters to people when they're watching the movie.
Yeah, I like it. Saying nobody knew who the fuck she was is just also part of the problem.
Right.
It just reeks of such ego, man. Like, if that's what you want,
nobody white knew who she was, so it don't matter who she know.
Yeah, like, what was the point you were trying to bring across? But like I said, trying to understand, as a human being, I know she feels attacked.
Of course.
And some of this got to be just lashing back out at black people, but you really should not have done that. Mm-mm. I'll just leave it at that. 0 to 100, Karen.
For
the article and her comments.
25.
75 for me. Because when that movie come out and tank, everybody gonna be like, see, and this why your ass should have let it sit on the floor.
Right.
But okay, you know, it doesn't, just because you like something doesn't mean you're the person to do it. Like, it's so much shit to it. I mean, and if you really were that fucking pressed to get it done, I mean, you do, you say you have the name, sign on as a producer. You know, but we all seen the fucking film room. We seen the writer's room for that shit. We seen the white folks.
And it don't look good.
Stop trying to turn it into something it's not. A fired cop holds up his black girlfriend to prove he's not racist.
100.
North Carolina. Florida. This is in Florida.
North Carolina. Lord have mercy.
No, it's in Florida. You know, but he definitely did it. Had to get it out there.
So I don't know if it was a race thing or a lady thing, but I'm mad as hell.
Fire cop holds up black girlfriend to prove he's not racist. One of the four Fort Lauderdale police officers fired in a racist text message scandal.
Text-mex is good.
Mm-hmm. Spent the day fighting to get his job back. He brought his girlfriend as a witness to an arbitration hearing, who he claims proves he is not racist.
Mm-mm.
Man, he can't be racist if he loved his black woman, Karen.
A lot of white men stick their dick in black women and don't give two fucks about them.
In Tuesday's hearing for fired officer Jason Holden, his African-American girlfriend testified that he is a good person.
Right, everybody think they good. Cool. Everybody think they good. So, so the slave owners who owned the slaves, who raped the women, thought they were good people too, right?
You is kind. You is smart. There are people that make mistakes. There are people that say things that they didn't mean, said Perpetua Mike Mitchell, who said she has known Holden for about 4 years, and they became an item about a year ago after the allegations against him surfaced. Oh, for real? After the allegation surfaced?
Mm-hmm.
Nick, what? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
I think I know how he proposed. I actually got it on tape. You want to hear the proposal?
Exactly how did you propose, Tanya? Okay? Now listen, okay? I said, Gina, you schemed, you plotted, and finally, clank, clank, you trapped me. I got on one knee. I said, yes, Gina, I will marry you. Damn, are you happy now? It was smooth, straight to the point. What do you think?
That's what I think happened. He got caught with the nigga letters. He said, yes, I will marry you.
And jigabooed her ass out there and it was like, no, this is my nigga wall. Fuck you.
She said he's a cop. He shouldn't have said that word. Correct. She added she doesn't believe he used it in a hateful way. His voice choked as his parents cried in the hearing room as he apologized for texts that were laced with bigoted comments. I'm not a racist. I've never been a fascist. I'll never be a racist. A fascist? What's that? Maybe they spelled that wrong. He said he became numb to the use of racial slurs because he heard them constantly from the black community, black officers and white officers. Yeah, it's black people's fault because, you know, white people have never used the N-word before black people started.
Never. And there are a lot of white people that are around black people that
don't.
Yeah.
That is not who I am. Police Chief Frank Adderley said it doesn't matter if the officers use their private cell phones to exchange hateful messages. It's a 24/7 job, on duty, off duty, whatever you do. Once it comes into light, you're a police officer. Everyone's going to look at your actions. Holden was fired along with fellow Fort Lauderdale police officers Chris Souza and James Well. The fourth officer, Alex Alvarez, resigned. The officers allegedly created a video that was racially biased, and the others exchanged racist text messages among themselves. He also said there was a Ku Klux Klan hood seen in the video, which also takes shots at President Obama by depicting him with large gold teeth and even stages a mock execution of a black suspect. But not racist, guys. Mm-hmm.
Nope. What's important nothing is racist anymore. Nothing.
Nothing is racist.
What's nothing
is that he's not racist. He's not. He's not racist at all. Alderley said an activist agreed that the behavior of the four officers has set community relations back decades. This is pure hatred and racism. It's obviously morally repugnant. And we cannot have this in our community, said Marsha Ellison, president of the Broward NAACP. In February, an arbitrator refused Wells' bid for reinstatement. Souza chose not to appeal his dismissal. However, none of these cops have had their licenses to be cops revoked. That's because at the time, under state rules, bigoted speech was not cause to have your certificate taken away. These officers, regardless of how appeals regarding Fort Lauderdale job come out, will be free to work at whatever agency will have them.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Ferguson.
They get hired again. Yeah, Ferguson was a lot of cops who got kicked out of other agencies.
Man, I just can't believe this black woman got up here and said, man.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Dick must be bomb.
It better be the bomb.
Jesus Christ, man.
The dick must be bomb with the side of that racism.
Yeah, I can't. Nah. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope.
Would nope, because you got to respect me and my people.
Would not be able to do it. At any rate, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, I said 100, but you started this story.
Yeah, it's 100 for me as well. He's not racist in any way. Did you see what he said? Did you watch the video?
Oh, I just became his girlfriend.
Yeah, all I know is I need a ring.
Like last week.
Okay, I told my mom I'm engaged, so I'ma just need everyone to calm the fuck down. I'll take a racist. Herman Cain said Donald Trump is not racist.
Of course not. Not the man with the 999 plan.
Yeah. Donald Trump is not a racist, contrary to popular belief.
Not racist to me.
He's like Donald Trump's black girlfriend.
Come on.
From a year ago. Man, I wonder what they sex was like. I know they was using race play and all that shit.
Boring shit.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I think that racist cop was... He was probably saying some things. Says she seemed like the type to take it.
Not me.
Well, I know not you. But she was.
Because there are a lot of lies out there. Allow me to set the record straight. About one of the biggest lies out there about Donald Trump. And I hope the liberals and the liberal media is listening. Donald Trump is not a racist. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I know what a racist look like when I see one. And Donald Trump is not a racist.
Mm-hmm. Do you? Do you know what one looks like? Do you?
Donald Trump not a racist, according to Herman Cain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 0 to 100.
Oh, 0, because it's Herman Cain.
Yeah, 0. He's adorable. I don't know what to say. Just shows up and says stupid shit. And
disappears. Got his cash that check.
Mm-hmm. Here's one. Actually, you know what? Let's say that for Sunday. Let's move on to some Guess the Race. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the world, where we play news articles from all over the globe and we ask contestants to guess the race. And this time it's the chat room, and the chat room is super racist. All right. And today's Guess the Race is double sponsored. It's brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Go to GetBevel.com and use code FREETBGWT, and you can get your first month free at GetBevel.com. Yeah, Father's Day is upon us. Okay? Mm-hmm. Some of y'all have played your little reindeer games too damn long. But you still got time to make it up. Why? Because your daddy is already disappointed in you. All right? But you can go out and get him this present at any point. Go to GetBevel.com and get him the shaving system. Get a safety razor, shaving brush, blades, priming oil, shaving cream, cool restoring balm. His skin will feel great. He'll look great. All the women gonna want him again. Help him out. Give him the gift of everlasting youth. GetBevel.com, code FREETBGWT. Get your first month free. Also, brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. All you gotta do, go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, enter the offer code TBGWT, and you can save $3 off of any new subscription. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items and more. I was wearing my He-Man socks today, as a matter of fact. Felt fresh in my He-Man socks. And you know, like I said, people wonder where we get these shirts from. Mm-hmm. You know, scarves, hats. You know, I got a Pikachu hat that I wear. People are like, oh my god, I love this. Mm-hmm. Is adorable. Where'd you get that from? Loot Crate. Didn't even know it was coming. Didn't even mm-hmm. know what was gonna be in the box. You never know till you open the box and you're like, oh my god, I'm like a kid on Christmas, but every month as an adult.
And it's so much fun.
Give the gift of joy to yourself at lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT to save the $3, okay? Do this by the 19th. The 19th is a cutoff date, and that means you will lose out on this month's box, which the theme is dystopia, okay? Featuring RoboCop, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, The Matrix, and all sorts of things. BioShock Infinite, Fallout 4, you just never know, man. Comic books, collectibles, everything. So lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. All right. Ghostbusters impersonator who used to go to kids parties and stuff like that, soliciting child for sex. He showed up to the sting operation dressed like the Men in Black.
Okay.
Think he was going to flashy the kid and see if he'll forget. He's like, I'm gonna molest him, but it's cool though. I'm just gonna give him that flashy thing, and then he'll forget all about it.
He'll forget like they did in the movies.
Right. You went to a birthday party and you had a good time tonight. I'm like, I don't know if that's how it happened. Flash.
Yeah.
Look here. I got my shades on.
Look right here. This way, baby. This way.
Who knows how many other victims he has? If that's the case.
He's had a lot that don't even remember.
You know, like, He could have been flashing kids all over the place, you know. I'm gonna need you to look into this thing.
The man in black.
I feel like that's how he walked up in the sting.
You know he did.
The cops was just like, get on the ground, sir.
They was like, do you hear this music?
Sir, can you have a seat?
He came in and did a spin and everything.
He's like, oh, about to get my molest on. Oh shit, what's going on here?
Where y'all come from?
Michael Robert Garesi, 36, was arrested on June the 10th. For soliciting sex online with children.
Ah! All the kids.
He's a North Carolina man. Oh. Who's not transgender, but still molests children. Is the GOP gonna be able to handle that? Did I just blow your minds? He impersonates movie characters as an entertainer at children's parties. He was arrested by Lincolnton police on June 10th for trying to have sex with a child by a computer and showing up dressed like the Man in Black character for the meeting. Authorities.
Oh. Mm-hmm. He tried to have sex with a child by a computer?
Well, I guess via computer. That's
oh,
what it means.
Okay, via computer. I'm about to say, well, shit, he was like, okay, I got a child, I got a computer, let's get this party going.
Authorities conducted an undercover sting and operation involving the man as an officer posed as a 14-year-old on social media. Garesi, who used the name Doc while in character, too close to Dick, if you ask me, allegedly talked about, aren't you supposed to be just a letter? J, K, Agent M. Mm. This thing was Agent Doc.
Oh, too many letters.
Stick to the cosplay rules. Allegedly talked about meeting Lincolnton to engage in sexual activity with the team.
Letter S for this snake you gonna get.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess he was ghost busted because he also impersonates Ghostbusters.
Oh.
That's right. Police arrested him once he showed up. Did he go to the same? This the same Ghostbuster car we took a picture with.
I know. I hope he wasn't there with us.
Right? Once he showed up to the meeting spot, he drove to the exact replica 1987 Ford Crown Victoria used in the Men in Black movie. Wow, he even has a car. A black colored car had an aftermarket toggle switch and emergency light equipped to replicate the one in the movie. To impersonate the characters in the movie starring Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, he would wear a black suit with black glasses and a black tie. Authorities say he also had replica vehicles from the Blues Brothers and Ghostbusters as part of his business as an impersonator for parties. He also was an instructor at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Charlotte. Someone was just talking about going there.
We might want to hit them up.
The part-time employee in question has agreed to part ways with the school pending the outcome of the incident. He had been affiliated with the school for over a year. There's no indication the allegations had anything to do with the school or the students in any way. He was charged with one felony count of soliciting a child for an unlawful sex act appearing to meet the child. He posted $75,000 secure bond. Business is good. Mm-hmm. Authorities are asking the public if anyone's had any inappropriate contact with him in the past to come forward. So we'll see. Guess the race. What is his name? Mr. Michael Robert Garesi, Ghostbuster / Man in Black / child pedophile molester. Let's see. Black everything except that D, white, of the House Lannister.
Oh.
I think that's more incest than child molester. 75 G's, white. White, says Gourmet Goober. Man in white. Here comes the man in white. the correct answer is I gotta get back to my sound effects.
Yeah, Tommy, here comes the man in white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to grab them booties.
Right. You know, I think he was probably out there like the booty warrior. Probably.
But when Lockup visited Kentucky State Penitentiary, we met Fleece Johnson, a longtime inmate who practices a very different kind of homosexuality.
Well, we have sexual desires, right? So you got a bunch of men locked up in one place. All of them get hard. All of them's horny. All of them got sexual desires. So what are they going to do? You won't let them have a woman. They going to have each of somebody's going to have to give us some booty.
The correct answer was white. And nobody missed it. Yep, somebody gonna have to give up some booty.
We're gonna do this the easy way. We're gonna do this the hard way.
And here's
if
this
I
picture.
Want you, I'm gonna get you.
That's his picture right there. Well, there you guys go. Let's see who else.
He ain't afraid no ghosts or the kids.
Yep. Here's one. Women smile for the police after allegedly assaulting a McDonald's employee.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wasn't their day. Police say three women got mad at a McDonald's employee. Of course. And they assaulted the employee in Ohio because she was working too slowly in serving them.
What? Getting paid her $1.25 an hour after she gets taxed?
Mm-hmm. She must have had that McNuggets loving. In their booking photos, they can be seen smiling. The assault happened on June 8th in Bellevue, Ohio. According to police, the female employee was assaulted in the restaurant parking lot after the woman thought she wasn't serving them and their child quickly enough. Oh, a kid got to see this. Great. Sure, that kid will grow up to be an outstanding human being. The women are identified as Ashley England, Mary Jordan, and Sammy Whaley. They were arrested the next day after security video was used to identify them. England was charged with assault, theft, and child endangerment. Jordan was charged with assault and child endangerment. Due to the fact that England and Jordan had their children present with them, and the children also participated in the incident.
Holy shit.
Hey, teach your kids.
Each one teach one.
Hey, I believe children are future. Mm-hmm. Teach them well and let them lead way.
Right.
Yeah.
Show them all the beauty they possess inside.
Mm-hmm. And then they took the most swagged out.
Oh, yes, they are.
Swagged out motherfucking
photo op pictures.
Not photo ops, what you call mugshots?
Yeah, mugshot photo ops. Lord, they smell like it's a photo op,
right? All right, guys, guess the race, chat room. But let's see. Oh wait, gotta wait on them to catch up to the show, and I'll put their pictures on the I think they're all the same race, by the way, in case it's not a trick. I know. Mm-mm. Some of you guys get a little nervous that we're trying to get one over on you here, mm-hmm. But we're not. They're all the same race. Let's see. She Hunkies, says Dr. Dostax. Big Mac with a side of entitlement white. White Hamburglar, Sister Wives of the Hamburglar White. Housewives of the Trailer Parks. Caucasoid. The correct answer is, and everybody got it, white. What was the clue? That it was Bellevue, Ohio? I thought somebody would have guessed black.
I don't know, but this pick, man. They really was, the one in the middle.
Yeah, it really was like glamour shot time.
Right. That's why I said photo op.
Like, I don't care about going to jail. No, I'm cool with that.
I go to jail over these chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's go to the bonus round and wrap this bad boy up, guys. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Bonus round to guess the race. So far, everybody's 2 for 2, but let's see if they can go 3 for 3. Because when it gets to bonus round, people get a little bit nervous. Here we go, chat room. Mm-hmm. A mother abandoned her kid, which was a little baby, inside of her car after she crashed into a pole at 70 miles an hour.
Oh.
Following a reckless police chase.
Oh. Okay. All right.
You good?
Yeah, I think I am.
You had to wrap your head around a lot there.
Yes, I did.
Need a second?
I don't know. She thought she got her car from Acme.
A Missouri mother is accused of abandoning her baby inside of a car she crashed into a pole while driving at 70 miles per hour following a high-speed chase. Police said Shanice Marshall, 19, was driving recklessly before she crashed the vehicle into a pole. She then allegedly fled the scene and hid inside a nearby restaurant where she was later taken into custody. Police said once back at the scene, they located a baby in an unsecured car seat. Of course it was unsecured, because why not? Then when they questioned her, she allegedly told officers she did not want to get caught in a stolen car again.
Oh, what the fuck is happening here?
Police is like, now you know you done fucked up.
Right.
Again. You know you done fucked up.
Again.
She has since been charged with 7 counts, including endangering the welfare of a child, tampering with a motor vehicle, resisting arrest, fleeing the scene, and property damage. Judges issued a $50,000 cash only bond. Guess the race of Miss Shanice Marshall. Chat room. See what they believe. One who can't outrun CP time, but can run away from her kid.
Oh.
Guilty with a good reason. Black.
That's funny to me.
She was breaking the laws of God.
Apparently so.
That dude's voice is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
On that OJ documentary.
Yeah.
I said, OJ, you can't cheat on this white woman. It is against the laws of God. I'm like, nigga, this is what you said this about? I thought you said it about the murder. He was talking about cheating on that white woman. The girlfriend of that white cop, Black. Aww. I just won hood rat bingo with all the clues, Black. Locked him in the car to keep him from jumping in the gorilla pit. Black. of House Jackson. Anyway, the correct answer is Black. Stop. Everybody went 3 for 3 today. Good job, internet. Let's go ahead and get into the final segment. Gotta talk about these swads. What my sword fighting music? There we go. All right, let's see who fucked up this time and broke the laws of God.
Broke something.
OJ, that dude, you can't cheat on a white woman. OJ, you are breaking the Coonan laws.
That's Coonan 101.
Laura Lynn Mahoney, age 29, had been drinking and was suffering from mental health problems when she lashed out. She launched into 21-year-old Stuart Haworth with a 10-inch blade on his parents' front doorstep September last year. She demanded that his parents rouse him out of bed. She then accused him of stealing her brother's bike and inflicted a cut with a sword which required hospital treatment. The mother of one had been prescribed medication for her mental health, but had not been taking it in the period leading up to the attack. There was no suggestion that Mr. Haworth had in reality been involved in any wrongdoing. Mahoney was handed a 2-year suspended sentence in Birmingham Crown Court in April, having already been in jail on remand for 6 months. So they slapped on the wrist. Nothing, really. Mm-hmm. It's cool. You can stab somebody and it's cool. Don't worry about it. No, don't need to go to jail or anything.
Mm-mm.
She previously pleaded guilty to wounding with intent to cause grievous bodily harm. Ugh, this is the end of the week. Her sentence was attacked as far as too soft by the attorney general. Must have had the same judge that let that rapist go. The Birmingham judge had been unduly lenient and Mahoney should have been given an immediate jail term, it was argued, but the court refused to increase the punishment. Lawyers for her said she was now back on her medication and making good progress. She's already served the equivalent of a 12-month sentence. We have come to the conclusion that the sentence imposed, whilst lenient, was not unduly lenient, and the application is refused. So, back on the streets with these swords, dog. Mm-hmm. Gotta get your sword on.
Apparently so.
And don't forget, man, today's show brought to you by Loot Crate. Get go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, code TBGWT. Getbevel.com. Getbevel.com and free it is free TBGWT at getbevel.com. And it was also brought to you by the movie Black History.
In a world where Black history is outlawed, one man has to be all the historical Black people throughout time to teach his class what it means to have Black history. Starring Chadwick Boseman as Martin Luther King Jr.
I have a dream.
And Chadwick Boseman as George Washington Carver.
Behold the peanut.
Also starring Chadwick Boseman as Harriet Tubman.
I can't die but once.
And also starring Chadwick Boseman as Sojourner Truth.
Ain't I a woman?
Introducing Chadwick Boseman as Malcolm X.
We didn't land on Plymouth Rock.
Starring Chadwick Boseman as Rosa Parks.
No.
Featuring Chadwick Boseman as Leon Robinson in The Five Heartbeats.
Don't you want to hang with old Eddie Kane?
Starring Chadwick Boseman as Michael Jordan.
I don't take pictures with niggas.
And also Chadwick Boseman as Oprah Winfrey.
You get a car.
Then Chadwick Boseman as Little Richard.
A wop bop a loop bop a lop bam boom.
Chadwick Boseman as Marion Barry.
Bitch set me up.
Co-starring Chadwick Boseman as Beyonce.
You must not know about me.
Introducing Chadwick Boseman as LeBron James.
I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Chadwick Boseman will also have to be Snoop Dogg.
Fuck shizzle.
And Chadwick Boseman as that one nigga who bagged your groceries down at the grocery store.
Would that be paper or plastic?
Then Chadwick Boseman will be Queen Latifah.
Who you calling a bitch?
And as a revelation coming to the screen, as only Chadwick Boseman can do it, he'll also be Karen Mara.
We need empathy and sympathy.
And finally, Chadwick Boseman will be you.
Damn this nigga and everything.
Coming to BET this fall. Make sure you watch Black History, the movie.
Black History. All right, baby. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.